You're listening to 10 Points, a podcast with your hosts, Ash and Nicholas, where all the talk is Canadian Highlander, our favorite format from the best trading card game ever, Magic the Gathering.
Hey everybody, it's me, Ash.
And me, Nicholas.
Today we are going to be revisiting our tier list for Canadian Highlander decks because it's been a little while and stuff has changed.
But first, we're going to, as usual, do our best card from, and today we're doing Plane Shift. And there were some solid options in this one, but Ash, you want to kick it off with your best card from?
Yeah, Nicholas will talk a little bit about some more solid options when it gets to him, but I think out of all of them, Eladamri's Call has had the most consistent and most like prominent presence in the format, as well as making a lot of decks just consistent enough and just functional enough to be good, notably a lot of the toolbox decks. It's one of the really good reasons to be in white. Which we'll talk more about some of those decks later, as we'll talk about every deck later.
yeah, obviously, as a creature combo / toolbox player, I love me some Eladamri's Call. But another card that fits in those lists is Diabolic Intent. And I'm going to say that's my best card from. And the reason that it gives a really good reason to be in black for this creature toolbox decks is that it doesn't have to get a creature. So if you're facing down a Humility, I actually did this on one of our paper landers, is I was facing down a Humility and I was like, well, I gotta find some sort of answer, and I found Diabolic Intent, which was allowed me to go tutor for Baseju and destroy it.
Was that against me?
Yeah. You're the only person that would play Humility.
No, we have another player.
Kidding. But that's why Diabolic Intent's really good. But there were a few very honorable mentions. Terminate is obviously quite good in black-red decks that are looking for removal. Orym's Chant is great in Storm. Flame Tongue Cavu is a memory of a long time ago that will always stay dear to
really,
my heart.
Listen, it was good up until the release of Modern Horizons.
Yeah. Now you just, like, have Fury, and, like, why would you ever play Flame Tongue Cavu when you have Fury?
Yeah, and one other honorable mention is Cavern Harpy, which enables, well, before Adventures in the Forgotten Realms came out, Cavern Harpy enabled Alurn to work at all. It still plays it because it allows lines without a Sararak to go off, but that is a notable card there. I think some people also just play it in, like, I think people were playing it in, like, Esper Initiative, which is wild.
I did not know that.
Yeah, because you get to pick up your stuff.
I mean,
it has
sure.
It has to be a black or blue one,
I think.
No, I forget. Okay, it doesn't matter.
It does have to be black or blue, but...
Okay, yeah, so you don't get to get your good white initiative cards, but you get to blink the other ones, and you're playing all of them anyways, so... Okay, moving on. We gotta get going, because this is a... potentially long process if we take our time too much. I think we've done this before, and we're using the same setup we did before, so I'll post a photo of our list after the episode is aired. We have all the same decks that were on the original one, which includes some that really aren't real decks because they're just there because I played them, or they just aren't really around anymore today, and we'll mention those and talk about them appropriately as they come up. But we also added some new ones that really just kind of showed up in the last year or so. But we're gonna get into it. Nick,
all right, I just want to acknowledge something real quick. I don't know if you even did it on purpose, but as you were talking about like decks that are memes that only you have played, decks that aren't around anymore, and new decks, you took your mouse and you hovered over like one that was a meme deck that only you've played, then you hovered over a deck that's not around very much anymore, and then you hovered over a deck that we just added when no one can see it. But I found that very amusing.
That might have been on purpose. It might not have been. I could have just been like a subconscious thing. But what was the meme deck I hovered?
Curse Prison Polymorph.
No, that deck's not a meme. It's legit. We'll talk about it later.
Oh, okay, you're right. Listen. Of course.
All right. I don't necessarily, we don't have to do these in order, but they're not really in any order. So let's just get going. Let's start here at the top, Four Color Blood. This deck has been a staple of the format since the format, really. I feel like people have been playing this deck for a really long time, and I think it's still good. I think that in our current metagame, at least our local one anyways, you have to play the more aggressive build for it to be super great, but I think it's pretty awesome. Unfortunately, it does kind of fall into the initiative pile thing, which we'll talk about a little later. But I put it at, well, let's see what Nicholas says before I give it a grade.
I would throw it in A tier. I think the initiative, as with many decks, has made four colored blood a decent bit better, but it has also warped the deck.
I think that it has made four color blood better, but it not as much as it has made other decks better.
That's true.
Because you're not abusing it as much as other decks are. I'm happy with A, though. I think that this deck, you have a million ways to build it, and they're all fun and mostly good.
Yeah.
Team or midrange? We don't see that all that often, but I'm kind of surprised because you just get to play Ren and Six and on to, into Uro, into Oko, and Minskimbu. I think the reason we don't see it that much is most of the time, if you're going into Teemer, why not splash white for Leyline Binding, Prismatic Ending,
Teferi? Like, the Teemer, you get like the best threats, but your removal is limited to like red removal, which isn't the best.
And efficient counter spells.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true.
And Oko.
I mean, sure.
Now, I do think that this deck is legitimately very good. I just think that the reason we see a lot of other stuff right now is that I've got on record saying this in the Discord, but I think that the fact that Price of Progress is pointed, like, I don't think we should be punishing people for trying to make the format favor. And I don't think it's true that, like, to play good decks, you have to play a million non-basic lands the way that that might have used to be in the case. So I feel like people aren't playing as much non-basic hate as they used to. So I think that when that comes back, Teemer midrange will be better than it is now. But I think the way things sit, I don't see enough non-basic land hate to play Teemer over anything else. I'd put it at B.
I would also put it B.
Okay. And like you said, the removal thing.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good red removal, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Time Vault. I think when we put this in here, we were referring to blue-black, but since then, we've both played Esper Time Vault to pretty good success. I do think they're similar enough to kind of bunch them all together, though, in all the Time Vault control decks.
Yeah, I do think Time Vault has dropped in competitiveness since the last time we did a tier list, though.
I think so, too, and I think that it also comes down to it's not that good at getting the initiative back.
Yeah, I mean that, and I think there's a lot more removal that has been printed that hits its combo pieces.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, I mean, the Sage is really common. That's the big one, obviously.
Yeah,
but what else do you see that's really common now, like Leyline Binding?
Yeah, Leyline Binding, Prismatic Ending, which some of those might have been out when the last time we recorded our tier list.
I think Prismatic Ending was, well, Prismatic Ending for sure was, because that came out in MH2, which is like episode 2 for us.
Wow.
But
it came out a long time ago. But yeah, no, I'd say Time Vault's still solid A or B.
I think that just the fact that it doesn't have a super fast game plan that doesn't get beat by opposition agent, I think it's probably B.
Yeah.
Like, because, again, the format currently is just so, you have to be doing so much so fast. At least, like, if you're trying to spike a tournament. Like, you can get through an FNM without running into something too fast, but you're not going to get through a big tournament without getting moxed.
Yeah.
So I just feel like it's, I don't know if it's as good at dealing with that as, like, it's not hard enough control to deal with that as well as some other decks are, and it doesn't kill you fast enough to race it.
Yeah.
As you guys can tell, me and Nicholas hate the initiative.
Yeah.
So, and we're going to keep talking about it. Next, Esper Control. Kind of what we just talked about, just you replace all the combo pieces with more control cards.
Yeah, I don't really see Esper Control that much.
I feel like you see more Esper midrange now just because you get opposition agent and bowmasters, and you're more likely to be playing like hand attack in midrange deck than control.
Esper
control, I haven't seen it in a while. I should build it again though. It's fun. You get to play void rend.
Yeah, I would probably put it in like C. Like, it's one of those decks that if you put it together, it, like, you can build it and it will be, like, pretty fine. But
you could easily 3-0 an FNM.
Yeah, there's just, like, not reasons really to build it over, like, other, like, Jeskai control, for example, or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'd put it in, like, high B.
Sure.
Though, I don't think we're specifically ordering the layers, so whatever. Grixis control. I think this has actually gotten better than last time we talked about it. You talk about it while I go find our old list.
I mean, I think it's always been pretty solid. I don't know what Ash is. I mean, I know we just talked about
how it was like. Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, like, having access to Bowmasters and stuff makes any of the black control or mid-range decks a little bit better. I would argue that Esper control is better than Grixis control just because you get access to the white removal.
Yeah, I think the thing that Grixis has over Esper is that it has better threats. Like, you can play Dragon Rage Channeler if you want to, Pyromancer, and Iconoclast if you want to.
I feel like we are getting out of control at that point.
Well, I think control plays the, like, Pyromancers frequently because they make great blockers.
Sure, but you're definitely not playing Darcy.
Probably not, but I've seen decks that, aside from the Darcy, look very controlly still playing Darcy.
Sure.
Expressive Iteration as well as, like, a good Divination that they play a lot of the time. I'm happy leaving it in B. I don't think most control decks are A anymore. Because, like, of the initiative that we keep talking about. But I think it's pretty close to Esper control there. Abzan midrange.
It's got the initiative,
More efficient removal than it used to. Like, you get Leyline Binding, and you get Bowmasters.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's, like, solid.
Don't get Oko, Uro, Renin 6, or Minskaboo, which, like, kind of sucks.
That is...
Wait, you said B?
I'm good with B.
I have Jund. I feel like Abzan and Jund...
You can't put Jund below Abzan, because we've already tested that scientifically.
I told you that the layers are not ordered. I do think that Jund and Abzan, it kind of just depends on if you're... Like, if your meta has a lot of threats you have to answer, I think Abzan's probably a little better. But if you need a race, I think Jund is probably better. Because Jund is going to have burn that can be removal. Like, your removal's not dead anymore. It gets a point of their face. Like some of it.
Sure.
And your threats are going to be on the board faster. Or, like, killing them faster most of the time. In Abzan, you get the white initiative cards, which is pretty good. So... I think they're pretty similar. I think most decks are just going to play both.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't think anyone's punishing non-basic lands like they should.
It's kind of problematic.
All right. I knew we were going to get to this point. Blue-white control. Last year, we had it at S. I think it's probably B now.
It's so much worse now. I mean,
It's so much worse. And what's made it worse is... As with everything we're talking about, the speed of the format, I think that it's just like, don't get me wrong, you can still do very well with it. We have players that do well with it all the time. We had a community member recently talking to me about it, and they basically just said, okay, well, you can play control, why would you play removal instead of just playing a threat? Like now, in 2023... You could play Sword Supply Shares, or you could just play a Ledger Shredder. It's like, oh, well, okay. Like, you just have to play so many more creatures so you can take back the initiative and so you can kill their Minskaboo, and it just kind of sucks. But you can still play it, and it's still playable. You can still do fine, but I don't think it's top tier. I think it's probably down to B.
Yeah.
It's also, like, it struggles to keep up with Moxes a lot of the time.
Yeah, the problem is, like, blue-white control used to be, like, kind of the purest form of control. I mean, apart from Seinfeld, which was obviously much more... Yeah, but, like, you would be able to kind of stop anything your opponent was doing. Like, even once it resolved, you could just wipe it. But now that the initiative exists, once they've introduced the initiative to the game, now you're playing two different games. You're playing the game of keep the board clear, but you also have to find some way to deal with this initiative that it's now just going to keep ticking through. And so yeah. Previously, Blue-White really didn't play that many, like, ways to attack. Like, you...
All it did was took the Monarch back, and there were two playable Monarch cards. Well, three playable Monarch cards. And, like, that was bad, but it was nowhere near as bad as the initiative.
Yeah, because the Monarch doesn't actually kill you. It just keeps them up. It, like, keeps them with up in cards. But, like, yeah. The initiative actively kills you.
Yeah. I hope that something happens to the initiative cards. I think we've talked about this on the podcast already, but I think we both want something to change in the points to make it less free to slam initiative cards. But
yeah, you know, we'll I don't think it's gonna happen, but I think at least White Plume should be pointed. Like, the difference between, like, White Plume and the 4-mana initiative creatures is so big. Like, playing turn 1 Dork or turn 1 Mox into turn 2 White Plume is, like, almost
or just crypt. Just crypt.
I mean, yeah, on turn 1 crypt into White Plume is obviously the last episode of Paperlander. Christmas Land Dream.
Yeah. Did you do that twice in Paperlander?
I don't think so. Just once, okay. Maybe twice. I don't know. There was many White Plumes, though. Breachstorm.
Moving on, Breachstorm. I think this deck is still very good.
I think it's solid A, at least.
Honestly, it might be B. I just haven't seen it played too much recently. Like, I'm trying to think of what would affect it that much that's come out. Like, people are playing Aven Mind Sensor more just because people are searching even more, even though, like, they didn't used to play it that much. And then Obsession Mage just came out and everyone played it. Now everyone's playing both, at least in my meta.
I think it's still definitely A. I mean, Breachstorm is just super
I'm good. Deciding if it's S or A.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know. I think S is kind of a different boat than it used to be.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Breach, we also have a new addition that's come out pretty recently. People have been adding Doomsday into their Breach decks a lot more. I know nothing about this. So Landry.
That's not Landry.
I don't know. That's my brother who lives in Texas. I don't know why I just called Nicholas Landry.
Welcome to the 10 Points Podcast. I am notably not Landry and do not live in Texas. But Breach Doomsday Storm. So I saw an article posted on the Canadian Highlander Facebook or the Discord. I'm not sure. And it was someone talking about this new, like, Doomsday Breach Storm deck that they had, like, created and had been, like, putting up great results with. And then I was playing webcam games against Yeti on Discord, and he actually was playing that, like, same deck. And I was playing D&T, which is usually a really good matchup against Storm, and he beat me. And the reason was I didn't know he was on the Doomsday version, and I know Breach Storm so well that I was in a position where I knew that I could not lose against Breach Storm, and so I made decisions based on that, and then he tutored for Doomsday, and I was like, crap, I can't interact with this, I can only interact with the other half, and so I lost, and I noted, like...
Hey, skill issue.
Yes, that. I've not played the deck yet, though I am planning on building it very soon, but I think that it's actually going to be really good. Like, the problem with Breach Storm is that it's fragile to graveyard hate, and the Doomsday part fixes that, because now you can switch game plans if they have a way to interact with your graveyard and be like, okay, well, now I don't care about my graveyard.
All right, well... Sorry, did I cut you off, or was that it?
No, that's it.
Okay, that's what I thought. So where do you put Breach Doomsday? Do you think it's just kind of an alternate version that is just meta-dependent, or do you think it's better?
I mean, like I said, I've only played against it once, but I think it's going to be better.
Would you put it at S? I'm going to defer to you on this one.
I think we can put it loosely in S, but still somewhat undetermined.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, like I said, I haven't played it yet, and I haven't heard of a lot of people playing it, but I legit think that it's really good.
All right, I want to jump around this list a little bit, because I want to, the specific things I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Mono White Death and Taxes. I think we both agree this is an S tier deck.
Yeah, it's always has and always will be great.
It's been very good for a very long time. We had an A tier last time. I think we were determining if it was S or A. Sure. And I think just at the current time, we didn't consider it to be A tier. But also at the current time, Oracle, I don't believe, was pointed yet. So,
Pretty sure it was.
I don't know. Maybe. Anyways. So that's Mono White Death and Taxes. Also, I have just Death and Taxes written here, which I'm pretty sure is supposed to be the black version. Or maybe any given splash version. So where do you put the splashes? Do you think they're as good?
I think slightly worse. I mean, you get better card quality, but like at the same time that I was playing against the Breach Doomsday Storm, I was talking to Yeti about D&T and where like the splash colors stand. And he just brought up a good point that like you get a little bit better card quality, but the mana inconsistency isn't worth it. Like it's still really good and you'll probably still see really good results with it, but it's
slightly worse. So I'm hearing A.
Sure.
Okay. There's a couple things on here where we're just not putting them on the list because I have White Weenie written here.
That's just not a thing.
Yeah, it used to be like kind of sort of, but I don't think really. So like that's just we're just
gonna not just put that D&T here. D&T with extra steps.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at eggs.
I don't think it's great.
I think it's good. I think that there's a lot of stuff that interacts with it unfavorably nowadays. There's a lot of incidents of graveyard hate, though I don't think it's as much. The big thing is that there's a lot of stuff punishing your draws, your extra draws, and this deck is kind of all about that, even more than Paradox. So I'd probably put it at B. It also has a lot of fast starts, though, so that's probably where I'm putting it.
I'm good with B.
Okay.
I think we actually talked about this last time, that eggs is just a huge, it depends on the pilot a lot.
Yeah, I think that is very true.
Red deck wins, solid, low A, high B, always.
Yeah. Where is it? Let's skip around here. Where's medium red?
Medium red, I would say it's right there. It's above red deck wins, I would say. Though, I think medium red has fallen off a bit. Maybe it's just because our local medium red players hasn't been showing up as much. But like,
I think that's probably it.
Haven't heard people talking about medium red as much as they used to.
Part of it, like most people who are gonna play five. Yeah, that's part of it. I think the other part of it is most people who are going to play medium red are just going to play like red-green monsters.
Yeah,
Speaking of red-green monsters, red-green bond. It's not quite red-green monsters, but it's kind of similar.
I mean, A tier.
Yeah, I think it's still really good. He still puts up great results. I don't know anyone else playing it, but a lot of people started playing red-green monsters, which is
pretty close.
A little more all-in on like something, but sure. You know, people like the archetype. I think it's a good archetype. Naya monsters. I think that's pretty Naya similar.
Monsters. I think. From what I've heard, Naya Monsters has been really strong recently.
I played that deck a long time ago. Like, back when we were playing at that other store.
Yeah.
Remember? I played Naya Monsters, and it was just like you just wanted to play, like, turn one, acceleration, turn two, Goblin Ralph Master, turn three, Bloodbraid Elf into Tireless Tracker.
Sure.
That kind of thing. It was living good life. That's, let me tell you.
Value.
All right, Cradle Hoof. I forgot this deck existed.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean,
like, there's a lot of. It's not. It's just not as fast as all the other things you can doing.
And
you
can be doing. And it's so easy to disrupt too.
Yeah, I miss this deck though. This used to be the bee's knees. It's probably C tier nowadays. Like, I'm sure, like, it's gotten some new toys recently, but I can't think of much.
Yeah, I don't really think it's gotten much of anything other than, like, no, I don't think it's really got much of anything. I would put C tier.
Yeah. Paradox Academy. I think I think this is still
the One Ring,
maybe S tier.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think with the printing of the One Ring, Paradox is gonna see a big comeback. And
I don't think it ever really went away. If you want to see some Death and Taxes and Paradox Academy gameplay with other new toys, check out Paperlander 12, because I don't think I lost a game that I resolved the One Ring.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Anyway, I think I interrupted you.
I don't remember what I was going to say. On to,
you want to talk about KikiPod?
KikiPod. Unfortunately, I think KikiPod has dropped from glory. And I think
had it at S tier.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it is anymore. I think the problem is KikiPod already had so few flex slots, which was okay because you had your game plan, you had your cards or whatever, and then the initiative was printed and you were like, okay, well now I just need to fit these initiative creatures into the deck. And it kind of got to the point where you couldn't have your cake and eat it too. So now you just have to cut, you have to be less all in on the pod plan, like the Kiki combo plan, and kind of lean more into the mid-range part. So I think if you do that, then it's pretty solid, but I don't think it's pure, like, Kiki pod as the deck has existed for so long.
Yeah, I think you're just kind of playing a different deck at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's still probably like solid B tier.
Yeah, it's not unplayable.
Like,
if you
pilot the deck well and whatever, like it'll still win games, but it's not what it once was.
Speaking of things that aren't what they once were, you want to talk about Pattern Rector? I feel like this just, it just doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah, Pattern Rector, I mean, like, it's never been incredible. It's always been fine, and I think it's slowly,
it used to be good. Fine. I think it's just slowly gotten worse and gotten almost nothing to make it better. Oh, did we put Nightmare Saw on this list? Dang, we didn't.
I think that,
well, because that's kind of where that's kind of where we went, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess it kind of falls into. I just don't think the deck is as good as it used to be. There's so much that interacts with it nowadays that everyone is just playing for fun.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's really, really rough to try and play this deck in 2023.
Yeah, I would agree.
I would put it down at D tier, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd say C or D.
Okay. Jund Lands.
I think
Lands is just so slow to do nowadays.
Yeah.
Like,
honestly, I don't think I've seen a lands pile in so long. Like, lands
packages, it just doesn't, some packages, but you just really need to be playing initiative. I know we keep talking about it, but it's just the state of affairs, isn't it? Yeah,
there's combo decks and there's initiative decks now. Like, that's Magic, or that's Canlander. I mean, that's a simplification, obviously. Jeskai Midrange. That's,
oh,
like,
where do you want Jund Lands? Right. I feel like it's down. I feel like it's D tier.
Yeah.
Jeskai Midrange. That's deck is, like, insane.
S tier.
Yeah. This is the only, like, probably the only S tier deck that's not a combo deck that plays zero or one initiative creatures.
I feel like it's probably still playing more than that, but I guess it depends on the list.
Impulse, please comment.
Let us
in
know.
YouTube. Comment in YouTube and let us know. Unless you listen on audio only platforms, then tweet at us. Just kidding. Talk to us in Discord. Let us know. Should we be on Initiative Creatures and Jeskai?
As for Oracle, I still think the deck's pretty good, but
yeah, it's definitely A-tier. Worse. I think it's better than where do we put it? I think it's better than Time Vault. So I'm just, because, like, you're spending pretty much the same amount of points on the combo, a little more, but it's so much harder to interact with than Time Vault is.
It's harder to disrupt.
And you don't got to play a bunch of weird artifact-related cards, so you can just kind of play a little bit better of a control deck.
Yeah, like, the only argument for Time Vault is that it's the tutors find both pieces as to where Esper Oracle, the tutors don't.
Some of them
do.
Most of them don't. But you're right.
I still think it's better. Swords and Tempo.
This deck just doesn't do it anymore.
It's like, C tier. Maybe D tier.
Tempo cards are good enough that you can maybe get away with C tier, because the thing about tempo is if it's working. Okay, I know we're getting into Christmas Land a little bit, but if it's working, you don't care that they're playing initiative cards because you are force spiking them or remanding them. Yeah. Right? So I think if the deck is constructed really well, I think you could get away with C tier. And that's maybe with the right draw too. So
sure.
Because you just don't get to play initiative cards in that deck. You get to recall or time walk if you want, but
yeah.
Alright. High tide.
Recall and time walk. That deck's so bad.
I've heard some people trying to bring it back, but I agree. Fundamentally, the way the deck works is you can't win until turn six.
Yeah, you just set up for so long.
And every setup card you play makes your combo worse. I think it's probably D tier. It is fun. That must be said. It is fun.
Admittedly, it's probably been 2 years since I've seen someone play High Tide, so maybe it's actually just really good and I just don't see it.
I wouldn't count on it. Okay, Blue Moon. I think. Do you want to talk about the control version or the mid-range version?
Probably the more mid-range version, because I think that's the more optimal version.
With Express Federation and Darcy's and Ledger Shredders.
Yeah, Ragavans
fairy,
and whatnot.
Fairy Miscreants. Not Fairy Miscreant, Fairy Mastermind.
I think there's a lot of greedy mana bases floating around, and Blue Moon's kind of the only deck that still exists that kind of beats them, apart from Medium Red or whatever.
Yeah, but it's not that common. But due to the fact that, as we said, most people are taking advantage of the fact that people aren't punishing mana bases, that makes this deck better.
Yeah, I think A tier is fair.
I think you can't do the hard control version. I mean, you can. I just don't think it's as good. Because something I found is even if you mess up someone's greedy mana base, you have to kill them before they come back from it.
Yeah.
And, way back in the day, you would, madcap experiment and do that quickly. But nowadays, that's not really the case, so. All right, Sultai Lands. It's next to Jund Lands. Yeah,
same thing.
Jeskai Control. It's worse than Jeskai Midrange.
Better than Esper and Grixis, but yeah, it's just,
it's probably, I think any three-color control deck is just going to be B tier right now.
Yeah, I think.
If you're, playing into the control game plan.
I think it depends on your definitions, too. Control as it used to exist is just, bad now. But I think you can still build a fairly controlling deck that kind of leans into the mid-range plan a little bit more. That's a little more competitive.
I feel like that's just most blue mid-range decks, though.
Sure. Well, yeah, sure. Yeah,
you're not going to play a blue mid-range deck in this format and not play 5 counter spells and 7 spot removal spells.
I'm good putting it in B tier with the note that it's above Esper and Grixis.
Okay, you know what? We are softly ordering these layers. That's what we're doing. We're softly ordering them. The Rock. No,
it's... it's not F tier, but it's... Yeah, it...
Do you think... It is... It doesn't control the board as well as the control decks. It doesn't get on the board as good as any other on the board deck, and it has no game against combo.
Well, I think it has game against combo, but I don't think
it has little game against combo.
I mean, you get hand attack
Yes, combo can never beat hand attack.
Well, you get hand attack, pressure, opposition agent.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is I don't think you get that much pressure.
Scavenging news. I'm not saying the deck's good. I'm saying I think its best matchup is probably combo.
Sure. Okay, sure. Sultai Midrange.
I think it's B tier.
Yeah. Probably. You get enough interaction to slow people down, and you get to play some pretty efficient threats like Uro and Oko. And a lot of these decks are doing recall now for their points.
Really?
And yeah, I see it pretty. I think most of the time, Sultai Midrange. Would you do Moxes?
I was thinking about it. I mean, I'd probably splash red.
Okay, well...
The state of magic. Bant Blade, the deck's bad.
It used to be fun, now it's not even that.
That was the deck that you hovered over at the beginning of the episode when you were talking about decks that used to exist and don't anymore.
Oh, yeah. You know, this deck just doesn't exist. If you try to build it, it's not going to work. Stoneforge Mystic does not get swords anymore.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know the last time I saw someone sleeve up a sword of anything.
Bant Blink, if you're playing enough Dorks, can get away with Sword of Hearthenhome.
Yeah.
And but like, that's like card 99 or 100.
Yeah.
So, Soulside Reclamation, that doesn't exist anymore.
But, you know...
No, it was, and it was fun, but sure. It was, I'd probably put it in, like, D2.
Yeah, that's
D2. It is still fun, it's just slow.
Red-White Prison.
Wait, this says Red Right.
Red Right Prison.
This deck is actually probably still okay, because a lot of the, like, it's really good at being hostile to the board. The problem is, it has little ways to interact with the initiative,
Yeah.
So like once they get the initiative, it's pretty bad.
Your game plan is like humility before they get an initiative creature down, or you lose.
Which is not bad. It's not the worst game plan. It's probably a C tier deck. What do you think?
I would say that's a little generous, but I'm fine putting it in C tier. To be honest, it's been a while since I played against it, so maybe it's really good. Yeah. Black Mold is horrendous.
It is one of the faster non-red aggro decks, though. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying that it can. I'm just gonna put it in C tier. Do you think it's D tier?
I think probably it's D-tier. Probably D tier.
Goblins. This deck is great.
Yeah, Goblins is still good. I mean, that's like I think it's good A or B.
It's gotten better recently, actually.
Right. They printed that new like.
They just keep printing efficient goblins that just replace stuff. Like, just every set, their percentage gets better.
All right, you've sold me on A tier.
Okay, goblins is great. You pretty much have to do red-black goblins now, though, if you're trying to compete.
Sure.
Flash Hawk is just amazing. This deck is still great. I think it's probably still S.
Oh, it's S. I mean, I don't think it was last time we did it, but it's so few points now.
Yeah, last time I think it was still 10 points.
Yeah, it's like half the number of points.
I have red-green ramp here. That's not really a deck really anymore. Bad.
Like,
yeah,
it's just for sure.
Doomsday, this deck is probably S tier.
I haven't played against dedicated Doomsday in a while.
Oh, I have, and it gets out of ridiculous situations. I lost in the semifinals to it.
Oh, right.
Wait, right?
I think yeah. it was
Doomsday Thoracle.
Yeah.
Which is typically what you're doing. It's Thoracle still. I think it's.
I feel like A tier, high A.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Esper Midrange. We talked about this earlier, how it's probably better than Esper Control because you play threats, but it's still probably fine. You can do some pretty cool stuff with Esper Midrange.
Yeah, you do get, notably, like, you get the white and the black initiative creatures, which is nice.
And you get hand attack plus board presence.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of good. And Vant ETB. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Vant ETB.
Actually, really quick, about Esper Midrange. Just playing Opposition Agent, Aven Mind Sensor, and Bowmasters, just as... They just are efficient cards in your deck. Is a surprising amount of disruption a lot of decks will struggle with. And you're often on True Name. I think it's a pretty popular point for those decks.
Yeah.
Bant ETB Toolbox. I don't think it's great, but I think it can definitely hold its own still. Because you get to flicker initiative cards. I'd put it in like high C, low B probably.
Yeah. I think the thing I love about this deck is that it started off as like a meme.
A meme?
But like it's legit. Like just pretty decent.
Okay, speaking of memes, Greedy Jiggy Abzan is a meme.
Yeah,
I talk about it. This is like probably my favorite deck I ever built. I swear. but it was just Abzan Pod with the Kiki Jiggy in there, and you could only cast it if you got Blood Mooned or if you had Deathfight Shaman, Sylvan Caryatid, and Birds of Paradise in play.
But you were playing it for the pod chain. The deck was a thing that has existed. 10 fins.
This is a worse version of every other Storm deck, and it gets interacted with harder.
Yeah, that's like C.
Or C, D. Middle C. Low C?
Sure, low C.
For the memories?
Mono black aggro is F. You can't change my mind.
It's F?
Yep. If you're playing mono black aggro, you're not winning anything right now.
Mardu Prison, I think it's just worse than Red White Prison.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you get Bowmasters now along with Op Agent, so it's like slightly better.
I mean, it's probably D. Sure. Yeah, I'll throw it in D.
I mean, listen, if you're playing a D deck, you might as well, like, no one's playing a deck that's in the D tier, but refusing to play a deck that's in the F tier.
I mean, sure.
Affinity. It's fun. It got some cool tools.
I would say that's like C tier at least.
Probably C. It doesn't have the longevity that some other decks do, but it's pretty fun. It had a really good showing on Paperlander.
You got some nutty nut draws.
Yeah, I did. You want to talk to me about nut draws on Paperlander?
No, I'm saying Affinity has some nutty nut draws. Not that you specifically had some nutty nut draws.
Okay. I got all defensive for
now.
No reason.
Ash is just attacking me. I mean, I don't know what's going on here. Modular, you know exactly what's going on. The same deck. You can't change my mind.
I think it's slightly worse. It just, you get to do some cool, you get to play some cool cards. Yeah. There's some cool interactions. I think it's actually slightly worse.
No, I mean, if you're like going really all in on the modular plan, it's way worse.
No, it's like a sub theme.
Yeah. Then it's very similar. Maybe like,
yeah. Lower, your mana base lower gets a little C. worse. Your mana base gets a little worse. But it's fun. I like it. Yeah. I think it's interesting. Combo lands, this is like a Valakut, like a Scape Shift deck. It's not good. It's just, it's so slow nowadays. It's interesting, it's not what it used to be. It's probably D or F. I feel like you're better off trying to strip mine someone than combo with like Dark Depths or anything, you know?
Yeah. I feel like just strip locks are so slow now.
But... No, you're right. You have to like fast spawn strip block someone on two.
Yeah.
And then they're still just going to play Mox into Crypt and then initiative you anyways. So I'd probably just put it like
I'm good with D.
D or F. Okay. Naya Midrange. This is not like Naya Monsters. You play a little more longer game on the board, but
I think it's still above the rest of the midrange decks. Like I'd put it in A. Like, it's below Naya Monsters. I'm pretty open to that. I think it's still, like, if you're going to build...
They're playing 80 of the same cards.
Yeah, it's very similar.
You're playing more removal in Naya Midrange, probably.
Polymorph Super Friends, S tier for sure. I mean, you get, like, Emrakul on turn, like...
How about we just put this in as regular Super Friends, and I will scratch it off in the screenshot. The word polymorph.
Sure. Regular Super Friends is probably C. Like D.
I would say C. You think it's D?
I think
well, because you get to play like all the, you play like a million Wraths.
I mean, yeah, but Wraths don't do anything. They've played the initiative card.
Well, you play like four Gideons.
I'm not going to die on this hill, but I don't think Super Friends is at the same level as...
All right. We'll put it in D tier. Walk Pod. Does this exist anymore?
No, I think we put that in
it
like
got pointed out.
Our tier list last time only went down to D, and we put that in C, which it shouldn't have been. This is specifically referring to Sultai Walk Pod, which has not existed for a very long time. That's F tier for sure.
Yeah, it got pointed out. Curse Prison Polymorph. That's a meme. Four Color Prowess. It kind of was a meme, but now it's like. People do a lot of prowess stuff, but it's usually blue-red with maybe a splash. It's not great. It's, like, fine.
I mean, putting it in D or F. Like, it can do things.
You're just better off playing cards that don't need you to do other things to be good.
Yeah, the problem with prowess decks is you end up, like, dumping your hand, and then they just kill your prowess creature, and you're like, crap, that sucks.
Yeah. Here's Seeker Walk. Didn't we already put Seeker Walk somewhere?
No. We put...
Oh, that was Walk Pod.
Yeah, which is different. Seeker Walk is...
It's literally impossible now, right? No. Oh, no, wait. No, 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 no. Sorry, you can't. Sorry. I got... I was thinking Oracle on the points, not a Seeker. So,
no.
This deck's pretty good, right? Yeah,
Seeker Walk is better than Pod, but it's still, like...
It's different.
Yeah, I would go, like...
It's closer to Flash Hulk, really. Right?
Yeah. I mean... Sort of.
I mean, your goal like how it works.
Put Spellseeker in your hand, cast Spellseeker in combo.
Well, I mean, similar to Flash Hulk, like the way it plays, not the power.
Yeah. I would.
It's like a creature combo deck without creatures.
Yeah, I'd go like A
probably
tier.
A, right?
Yeah, it's good.
Middle A. Aristocrats. This deck hasn't really seen a lot of play in a hot minute. I think it's just because synergy decks are just falling off so bad.
Yeah.
Like, this used to be really cool, but, like, it's just gotten to the point where the card quality is so high that you don't play cards that interact together that much.
Yeah. It also doesn't help that there's now, a lot more, like, ways to interact with the graveyard, and B, Voidwalker. A lot more exile removal.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, Aristocrats, kind of, they're, like, there's too many ways to interact with it. Like, their whole thing is they have, like, one or two payoff cards that want you to sack things, and then the rest of it is, like, cards you can just kill. So if you kill the payoff, they're just playing a bunch of bad cards.
Yeah. I'd probably put this in D.
Yeah.
Lantern Control, that's a meme. It was actually kind of... It was actually, like, if you play it... If you get really good at it and you play it fast... It's actually interesting and is not the worst, but it's just, it's basically a meme.
I would like to Oops, correct you and say it wasn't the worst when you built it if you played fast. Now it would
No, be, back in the day. Yeah. Now it's bad.
I mean, it was still probably pretty bad, but yeah.
Yeah, all it's right. Not great.
Dredge.
It's actually a lot better than we thought it would be a year ago.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd probably put it in C or B, honestly. It actually works through graveyard hate more than you think it does. Unless it's like a rest in peace or a Voidwalker, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. I would throw it in C.
Yeah. It's very fun, actually. I would recommend giving that a shot if you have the cards or can proxy. It's actually a very fun build. Initiative piles, that's an S tier.
Yeah. We're putting this as just a broad thing because there's a lot.
Most of them, I've heard tell of like Mardu and Esper ones, but I think most of them are on green nowadays just for tutoring and turboing out.
Yeah, I mean, specifically creatures. For dorks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if a well built initiative pile is going to do well.
Yeah, that's really all there is to it. Slushy, this is the like blue white splashing red for brain freeze combo. It's like if you're gonna play control, having an I win button is good, and this deck is fine. It didn't have a great showing on Paperlander, but it's an interesting deck. I don't think it's great, but the fact that it has a moderately low pointed combo finish is decent. I'd probably put it like high C or B.
I'd put it at C.
C. Yeah, it's fun though. BattleBots, it's like Affinity, but you're playing a lot more colored spells and fewer artifacts and more things that interact with or make artifacts. This deck focuses more on Urza Saga tokens or like Karn Structs than regular Affinity, and you're instead of playing really really cheap creatures, you're playing more ways to generate mana. And peg moderately costed stuff.
Yeah, it's still fairly
but
similar.
They're roughly pretty similar.
I'd put it in the same like area.
Yeah, they're all pretty similar. Five color creature toolbox. This plays initiative stuff, but is less of a focus on reusing them and more on just having the right tool for the right job, as is with toolboxes.
Yeah.
I think this deck is quite good. I'd probably put it A tier. What do you think?
You've I would agree. Yeah, this is a deck that. Me and another local player independently, like, both built it and just started...
The builds are pretty different, though.
They're actually... I mean, they are different, but they're somewhat similar. I'm playing a lot more tutors than he is. But we both got really good results with it. Like, I legit think that the deck's just great.
Okay, and then here's White Weenie. That's a meme not, we talked yeah. about earlier. So that's our whole list. I'm sure there's stuff we forgot. If we forgot anything that you think we should have talked about, please leave us a comment in the YouTubes and tell us what it is and what tier it should be, and we will agree or disagree.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably try to revisit this again in a year. It's been a little more than a year since the last one.
I think it's a pretty interesting annual thing. I see how stuff changes over time. I need to remember to, in the event that I forget to edit the image, we need to, for Polymorph Super Friends, we're scratching off Polymorph, it's just Super Friends. And for Death and Taxes, there's a D&T mono white, and then D&T just says D&T. I need to add with splashes.
Splash color.
Yeah. So, add those. But before we go, do you want to talk about what you played last?
Right. Yes. I actually played Five Color Creature Toolbox. I've been really enjoying the deck, and it's still a pretty new deck. I mean, like, I don't know if it's really an established archetype, but I think like it legitimately could be, at least with the lack of non-basic land hate, at least in our current meta. And so I've been trying to like play it and tune it and kind of see what needs to be done. And my match one was super good. I was playing actually against BattleBots, and game one was super grindy, intense, back and forth. I mean, this was like a super long game, and the game actually came down to, I had taken apart my deck to build D&T for Paper Lander, and then I put the deck back together, but turns out I had missed a card. And so it came down to, I tutored for fear. I had a whole game plan in hand. I had my hands, like, I looked at my hand. I was like, okay, I have a winning line here. I tutored for Fury, played Fury, wiped like some of his board, and then I cast Diabolic Intent, sacking a creature with the intention of going to get Ephemerate to Ephemerate the Fury. And that was like, that was going to win me the game. Like, it was going to put me in a position where I was winning. And turns out I just didn't put Ephemerate back in my deck. And so I lost because of that, which was brutal. But his deck was super dope. And then game two was also super close and grindy, but we ended up going to turns and drawing, which was a little bit unfortunate, but that's how it goes. Match two was against another artifact deck. I don't know exactly what I would call it. It wasn't BattleBots. It was just like artifact stuff. He was playing like kind of like prison pieces to like combo pieces, just like different like artifact, whatever. Game one was super duper close. It basically came down to one turn where he cast Whir of Invention. He had played a grindstone, and he cast Whir of Invention for Painter's Servant, and was able to get Painter's Servant, but was one mana short of being able to activate it that turn. And then I was able to just tutor for Collector Oof, and then after I played the Collector Oof, I had like a Restoration Angel in hand, a Solon Half in hand, and so I just like sat there the rest of the game attacking with this oof, with just like the holding up these protection pieces so that if he tried to kill it, I could protect it. And then game two, he played a turn two Torpor Orb, which would normally be pretty good against me, but turns out my creatures also just attack. And so even without the ETBs, I just attacked him to death. And then match three, I was against Blue White Control. I didn't actually write down what happened this match, which I'm really sad, because I'm pretty sure it was a pretty good match. But I think I ended up just drawing pretty well, and I ended up getting there. And yeah, that's about how it went.
All right. Well, I recently played Blue White Control, actually. It had been a really long time since I played Blue White Control, and I missed it. So I looked at my list. I decided to play it while I was typing up the list for this last Paperlander because I was embarrassed. Listen, if you look at the list for last Paperlander, please know that is not what I would suggest you play. as the list exists, because there were a lot of factors that went into it. Namely, I was trying out a crazy new point spread and a lot of pet cards to go with the mana rock based point spread. Would not suggest doing that. The deck was very clunky and mana was like everything was too expensive. The average cost was way too high. So I brought it down a lot. Cut a bunch of the high cards, put in a bunch of good cards that were missing that were cheaper, and went back on the recall point spread and just kind of streamlined stuff a lot more and put in a Fairy Mastermind. And the deck felt pretty good. Round one, I went up against the Mirror. Game one, I mulliganed 2/5 because I got a one lander, and then a 5-card hand, which is one land and ponder, and then potentially other stuff. And then lost really fast. And then game two, I lost really fast. After mulliganing 2/6, I think, off a one lander. So that was extremely frustrating, just not hitting any lands. Match two, I went up against, it was Mono Black Necropotence. It was Grand's Necropotence deck. Let us know if you guys want to see that on Paperlander, by the way. I think Grant's been wanting to play it. That's a pretty good matchup for me. He has a lot of spot removal, which I don't care about. And a lot of his stuff takes a bit to get online. And most of his creatures aren't too threatening early. So I'm able to, you know, it's kind of exactly what Blue-White wants to play into. So I just kind of did the Blue-White thing both games there. I think we had a game three, actually. I think one match, he kind of snuck a win. But we had a pretty fun match. And then match three, I kind of mulliganed into the ground a little bit. And then I was playing against Matt, and he was playing, what was he playing? He was playing 4-color blood, a more aggressive slant, like triple mox 4-color blood. And it was a rough match. I had 3 lands in my opening hand and 2 cantrips, and then I just never found a 4th land, and never found a white mana. And after drawing, I think I looked at like 10 cards and didn't find one. And then I think I eked out game 2 somehow. I don't remember how. I think I had a pretty quick mentor, and I removed his skull clamp with a mental misstep. And then game 3, he just kind of ran me over kind of quick, if I recall. But it was, I think the match was overall was pretty long, and it was a pretty well played match. I'm probably gonna play the deck again next time I play, just because the deck felt like, when the deck wasn't just like stumbling on its mana in a way that RNG will dictate sometimes, the deck felt pretty good. So I think I'm gonna run it back pretty soon. Anything else to add?
I don't think so. Thanks for listening.
Okay, well, thank you all for listening. Leave a comment if you have any decks you wanted us to talk about that we didn't. And let us know if you like this kind of thing, if you want to see it again next year, like, you know, annual tier list. That feels like a pretty legitimate thing. Maybe we should do it as a video next year, so there's a visual to it. I don't know.
That'd be cool.
And then, let us know if you have any other stuff you want us to talk about. Live brews, deep dives, anything like that, any other topics you want us to cover, and all the other stuff. Share with friends, subscribe, that kind of thing. Like the video. Have a good day.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the 10 Points Podcast, and don't forget to count your points.